Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
Hallelujah. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the word of God reads, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Look at verse 2. "For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now look at verse 3. "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed." And I want to share with you this morning, the title of my message this morning is, "Remember God's Kindness." Remember God's kindness. This year, when you look at this letter right here that Paul writes, notice that the first thing that he says is, "When then, as workers together with him." Did you know that we are working together with God? All of you this morning, if you have received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, or you consider yourself a son or a daughter of God, you are part of his kingdom. And according to the Bible, you have a calling. You have a gifting, and you have an assignment that God has for your life. And Paul, he writes and he says, "When then, as workers together," verse 1, "as workers together with him," notice that the Bible says, "with him," we are cooperating with God. Or we can say we are God's partners. And we'll find out that it's not so much that God needs us, because God can do whatever he wants without you and me. But God does call us to partner up with him, to do what he's called us to do. And there's a word that I believe it's in the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, he talks about a word. It's this word. It's the word synergy. Which means that synergy means is that you cooperate, or the cooperation of two people or more. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, "When then, as workers together with him." We know that God is the chief. God is the main man. He's number one. He's the captain. But we got the honor and the blessing to be part of his family, his kingdom. I like what Dr. James O'Davis, he said. He said this, he says, the stronger the knot, the stronger the net. Then he says, the stronger the net, the better the catch. Which means that we're in this together. And Paul says, as we work together with him, not only do we work together with God, but we work together as a church or the body of Christ. Even in the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, when you read the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will always see that everything happened in twos. In twos. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, he says, two are better than one. How many can say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. I've always said that when you're hooked up with your wife or your husband, when you pray together, great things happen. Amen. I said, great things happen. Because two are better than one. How many know that two brains are better than one? Hallelujah. Just in case someone doesn't have a brain, two are better than, amen. Praise the Lord. But two are better than one. And there's something about when we partner up with God, we partner up with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Even in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says that when Jesus called the 12, he says, to himself. But then it says, and began to send them out two by two. And the Bible says, and gave them power over unclean spirits. So what am I saying this morning? What I'm saying is that it is, hear me church, it is an honor and a blessing that we get to serve God. And I want you to think about and meditate this morning how good God has been for your life in this year, 2025. I dare to say that I know for some it might have not been easy. It might have been hard. Struggles, difficulties, situations, things that you did not expect. But at the end of the day, according to the Bible, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. God is good. And Paul, he's about to tell them, hey, yes, we are partners with God. We are partners together, but let's not forget how good God is. And when you look at the scriptures, if you put it back in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that's going to be my main verse right there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you, not, look what he says, not, he says, I plead, he's begging them, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Because Paul, he sees himself that he's a what? That he himself, this is the way he sees himself, Paul, that he's a co-worker with Jesus Christ. When he writes to the Corinthians, he says, now all things are of God, he says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, look what he says, he has given us, he's speaking of not just himself, he says us, the ministry of what? Reconciliation. And then he says right there in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says this. Now then we are, look what he says, because that's who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that? You and I are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we are working together with God. And I want you to get this, church, because, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, we're not worthy, or we think that, you know what, I'm not qualified. But I really believe that when you get a hold of God, when you surrender your life to God and you say, Lord, here I am, send me, God can do great things in your life. If you believe the word of God. If you believe the word of God. If you say, Lord, here I am, I surrender all to you, use me, God will use you. And my message this morning is that there's just something about when you get busy in the things, or the things of God, life gets easier. Why do I say that? Because I know that if I'm going to be used by God, if I want God to use me, I need of God. I need to seek God. I got to prioritize God in my life, because if I want God to use me, or if I want to be effective for God in his kingdom, I need God. Because I can't do it on myself. You can't do it on yourself. I need God, and I need to seek God. I need to seek, like the Bible says, seek first his kingdom. And he says, and everything else will be added unto you. Everything else will be added unto you. That's what I'm saying, that when you serve God and you seek him first, everything else is added unto you in life. Life. And we are ambassadors. Because why? Because we are working for who? We're working for the boss, King Jesus. So as ambassadors of Christ, all the power, all the authority is not of our own, but it comes from who? From God, the King. And how many know that a king, if you read history, a king will always take care of his people. A king will always equip his people. We just got to use the equipment. We just got to use everything that is there for you and for me. But how many know that even though we have a king, we are equipped, but we don't use what has been given to us? How many know that a lot of people like to put stuff aside? I was looking in my little closet the other day, and every time I move something, I always find something new. And I forgot about these shoes, I forgot about these shirts, I forgot about this, because everything is folded, and I put it away. God gives you everything, but if we don't use it, we just put it aside. And many times, spiritually, that's what we do, church. You have all the tools, I have all the tools, and it's so easy to forget the tools that were given to us. I saw some shoes that my son-in-law gave me. Brand new, 3 Christmases ago. I forgot about them. I'm going to rock those next week, I said. I just told Monica, look, 3 brand new pro clubs. They're right there. Corduroy pants, brand new ones. Corduroy, back in the day. Remember the corduroys, the 90s? Brand new. And it's so easy. We leave everything aside. Church. And Paul, he's writing, and he says, And also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay, God's grace is something that when we receive Jesus Christ, how many know that we are saved by his grace? We are saved. And Paul is reminding them, hey, don't forget, Corinthians, God has already given you grace. He's given you salvation. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you a new life. Don't, what he's saying is, don't ignore it. Church, this morning, don't forget. God has forgiven you. God has given you salvation. God has given you another opportunity. God has blessed you. God has been good to you. God has protected you. God has given you a second chance. He's given you another opportunity. Hallelujah. God has healed you. God has restored. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul, he says, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in what? In vain. Live out that life, church. 2025, because we're still in 2025. We still have, we still got some hours. We still got some days. Finish strong. I said finish strong. Don't get that attitude. Oh, well, you know, no, no, no. Finish strong. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And I believe that God deserves the very best. Hallelujah. See, we love it. We enjoy when, oh, God has been good. God has blessed me. God has given me this. God has done this. But how about you? Are you going to finish strong? Are you going to finish strong? Or are you going to act up? Couple hours. Come on, church. You know, it's, I think I'm hitting the nail right now. Some of you want to be acting up. No, finish strong. Finish faithfully to the Lord. Surrender all to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what Paul said? He said this. In Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not, look what he said. I do not set aside the grace of God. He says, I do not set aside. I don't put it to the side, the grace of God. And when he says, and plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Hallelujah. I have a question for you. The grace that you have received, is it in vain in your life right now? Let me ask you, are you producing fruit? Can you see Jesus all over you? That's what he means when he's saying, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Vain means empty. I mean, if I'm a believer in Christ, you got to see the evidence. You got to see Jesus. You got to see the fruit in my life, in your life. Or is it empty? Staying quiet. Come on. Look what he says. This is not about being passive, church. Relax time. You know, because for so long, this is something theological, but so long we said, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. And I could live how I want to live. God forgives me. You know, God, no, I was going to say something, but no, I better not yet. I'm going to get in trouble. But we get this mentality, you know,
And that's all we like, is that I'm saved and that's it. I'm saved, I have salvation, and that's it. But from there on, no involvement. No Jesus. No, you know, saying, Lord, you know, work in me. Development. Where I'm producing, where I'm changing. Because how many know, church? I don't care what you say, what you think. According to the Bible, every time someone had a radical encounter with Jesus, there was change. I said there was change. Change from the inside, out. There was change. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I got to change. I got to change. You got to, you know what? I got to change. My attitude's got to change. My actions got to change. My mouth has got to change. I got to change. Pride has to go. I said pride has to go. Hallelujah. The wrong type of humility has to go. There's got to be change. Don't let it be in vain. Just say, you know what? I'm a Christian, you know, I'm saved. Well, okay, you're saved. Show it. Show me the evidence. Show me the evidence that you're changed. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Paul said. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Did you hear that? He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not, there's that word, was not what? In vain. In other words, yes, I'm saved. I got God's grace, but I put to work his grace. Because see, grace is not just about forgiveness. Grace is empowerment. Empowerment by God so that you could live differently. And be effective in whatever you do for his kingdom. But see, now you're saying, well, how, you know, how can I be effective? How can I be different? Easy. Surrender your life to the Lord. I said, surrender your life to the Lord completely. But see, that's the thing. Not everybody wants to surrender. Okay, I'm going to give the Lord 15%, and 85% is for me, myself, and I. It's whatever I want to do. Oh, give everything to the Lord, church. Surrender all to the Lord. Put his grace to work. That's why he says, look what he says. But you see, I want you to get this out of your mind, church. It's not just about, you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's good enough. Well, that doesn't make sense, because if you're just talking about being saved, but there's no change in you, how about your loved ones? How about your children? How do they see you? How do they see your walk with Christ? Do they see Jesus in your life? How do you act at the house? So it doesn't go like, well, you know what, the Bible, I'm just saved. No, no, no. There's got to be change, church. Don't tell people about Jesus if you're not changing. Don't try to preach to your whole workplace if there's no change in you. Trying to tell the owner you need Jesus when you're not even responsible. What are you talking about? Come on, I invite you. You know, God can do something in your life. He can change you. But there's no change in you, in the practical things at work. You know what I'm saying? See, don't. And it's, for me, that is the worst thing you can do. It's trying to change someone when there's no change in you. Come on, church. Hallelujah. See, you gotta, here's a question for this, what I wrote, the Lord gave me this. Are you hard or soft? Are you hard when it comes to the Lord? Or are you soft? And I remember with that, every time I would go to the store, Monica would say, okay, look, go to the store, get some avocados. But make sure that they're soft. And there's a bunch of them. And I'm right there touching them. Looking weird, touching avocados everywhere. And from the bunch, you got to dig in. And sometimes you're in the bottom or, you know, you get the right ones and, you know, okay, these are it right here. And it's the same thing, church. God, if you're soft in your heart, if you're soft in your spiritual life, if you're soft to where God can pick you, God can use you, God can do lots of great things. But you got to be soft. The blessing of the Lord. God can do so much in your life, church, that you don't even imagine. But we're the hard ones. We make it hard on ourselves. You hear, like, you know, this morning, you hear this message. You hear it. But put it to work. Don't say, oh, amen, the Lord is speaking. No, what good is that? No, put it to work. Practice it. Practice it with your close ones. Start at your house. Oh, I can't wait tomorrow at work. I'm going to tell them what the pastor said. No. Put it to work at your house first. Oh, I wish my mom was here this morning. Or my dad, or my cousin, mi primo. This message was tailor-made for them. No. Tailor it in yourself first. That's why you're here. I said, that's why you're here. You can say whatever you want, but that's why you're here. You're listening to the word of God right now. And he says in verse 2, so let me go back a little bit. Not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't let it be in vain, church. Don't let it be the grace of God, something empty in your life. No, let it be something full of life. Abundance. Work in all the areas of your life. We need to overcome this mentality, church, that it's only, you know, I'm only supposed to be spiritual, and I'm only spirit. Hear me, church. I'm only spiritual at church. No! You're spiritual not only in church, outside the four walls. Be spiritual. Be spiritual at your house, your home. Be spiritual at your workplace with your family. Be spiritual. Don't let it be in vain. Be spiritual outside. When people treat you, and I'm going to talk a little bit about when people treat you wrong. When people say all kinds of things about you, or what you hear, or they put you down, or they failed you. You, don't let that be empty. The grace of God will empower you to be Christ-like, to shine for Jesus. To the point, like Paul says, you will put hot coals on their heads because you're overcoming evil by what? By doing good. We're living in times where we want to pay evil with evil. Doesn't work that way, church. It doesn't work that way. We're Christ-like. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus. We're not under the law. It's funny. No, I don't give tithes because we're under the law. Yeah, but you don't go under the law by the other things, huh? It's all to our convenience. We get spiritual. No, that's we're not under the law. Aren't you glad you're here this morning, church? Your last Sunday of the year. Praise the Lord. And he says, for he says, Paul now quotes Isaiah 49:8. He says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Paul is quoting Isaiah 49:8. What is he saying when he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you? Listen, church, don't delay. Too many are delaying. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God can save you. Today, God can do wonders in your life. Today. Don't wait for a certain preacher. I said, don't wait for a certain preacher. Don't wait for a certain day. Don't wait. You know what? Pastor didn't feed me this morning. I'm going to hop onto YouTube. No, you don't get fed because you don't want to eat. You don't like the food because it's too healthy for you. I said it's too healthy for you. And he says, today, don't put it off, church. Like I've been saying, what I say is because I know what I'm saying. Don't put it off. Like the Bible says, in an acceptable time, I have heard. See, God, listen, church, God has heard you. He's heard your pleading, your cry. But now he wants you. He wants you, nobody else. He wants you to believe him and to do the word of God. Put it to work. The word of God. But that's the thing. We don't want to put it to work. We want others to do the work. Wait, see, talk is cheap. Let others do. No, get in the battle. And then you're going to find out, you're going to appreciate. It's easy to say, oh yeah, them or that. Or, no. You put in the work. Put in the labor. Because you will appreciate more. You will appreciate more. And don't treat it carelessly. What you have right now, church. Whatever God has given you, take care of it. Be a good steward of it. Take care of it. Polish it. Wax it. Make it look shiny. Take care of what God has given you. Take care of your marriage. Take care of your children. Take care of your ministry. Polish it up. Don't get too comfy now. Well, I already got what I wanted. Be careful. Be careful. I said, be careful. I already got what I wanted, you know. I'm this. No, be careful. People don't believe me when I say things that there's always going to be, you will always be greater than someone, there will always be someone greater than you. Don't ever forget that. No. They can't find nobody like me. Are you hearing yourself? Nobody can do it like me. No, the only one that can do you is Jesus. Surrender to him. Amen. He'll work you up. Amen. Nobody moves like me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Nobody sings like me. Be careful. Nobody preaches like me. Be careful. Nobody tithes like me. Be more careful. Every time I say this, God brings or God moves. Because God is faithful. God will never let those who surrender to him, who believe him, who walk genuinely with him, God will never let you down. He fulfills his word. So I'm not just saying something just because. It's because I know my Father. I've walked with him so long. I've seen that God has been so good, so faithful, trustworthy. No one like the God that we serve. He says, behold, now is a day of salvation. So Paul, what he's doing is that he's giving them, the Corinthians, hey, don't just think about grace. Don't look at it just something in vain. He's trying to tell them, giving them a sense of urgency. Stay focused on Jesus. You know, that's one of the hardest things to listen. Believe it or not, to stay focused on Jesus, it's one of the hardest things. Because of too many distractions. I said too many distractions. Too many distractions. We get distracted easy. You could be so fired up one day on a service. Fired up. You read one verse. You read a devotion. You get fired up the next day. If you're not focused, it's so easy to lose track. Like this. Stay focused. Laser focus on Jesus. Get your priorities right. Church, listen, get your priorities right. Get the calendar ready. Oh, you didn't like that one, huh? Don't get in that, Pastor. Not in my calendar. I go to Disneyland 5 times a year. I'm going to say it again. Be careful. Don't be putting Mickey Mouse before God all the time. Serious? He didn't die for you? I said he didn't die for you? Right there with the big ears, taking selfies. Nothing wrong going to Disneyland. I'm being making a joke, so cool off, church. Get busy, church. Get busy with your spiritual life. Get busy, I said. Get busy in your spiritual life. Get busy. Stay focused on Jesus. Get busy. Work hard. Work hard. You're not understanding me. I said work hard in your life, your spiritual life. Work hard on your spiritual life. You hear all these people, you know, on Instagram, on TikTok, you know, get, you know, where you're going to be unrecognizable. No, yeah, be unrecognizable, but for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Forget about the bench press, the squats. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. Be unrecognizable. What God is doing in your life. It's because my wife already put in the order that she wants broader shoulders. So I got that one new equipment, the one you go like this. On TikTok story. Hallelujah. Real easy. Either get smaller shirts or bigger ones. Fix. That's it. You want to look, just get them smaller. Oh, I'm too heavy to get them bigger. Get a little loosened right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Proverbs 20:19, a hard worker has plenty of food. Listen, church, anything spiritually, working, laboring, whatever you do, ministry, whatever, when you work hard, you will always have, that's what the Bible says, you will always have plenty of food. That's biblical. You work hard in ministry, you will always have plenty of food. If you work hard in whatever you work hard, you will always have plenty of food. God has your back. All the supplies, everything is there. But you got to work. I said you got to work. You got to till your land. You got to work your land. But a person, the Bible says, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. That's why we got a lot of people. They're just in what? Fantasies. Oh, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day, I'm going to get the man of the year. One day I'm going to get the job. One day I'm going to go to that. Yeah, one day. It's just a fantasy. Get to work. Get to work. Right. We're living in times where it's the easiest to make money. The easiest. But what? You got to work. You have to work. Remember the first time I heard that concept? Nah. It's just going to land. No. You got to knock on doors. Got to knock on doors. There's no other way out, church. You got to introduce yourself. Got to tell people what you do. And you got to learn to fail forward. Why? Because at least you're knowing where you're going. You fail, but you get up and you keep going forward. Amen. That's the thing. A lot of people are afraid to fail. But if you have your eyes on the Lord, eventually the blessing comes. The blessing comes. The blessing comes, I said. The blessing comes. Because God is good, church. But you got to work your land. I'm almost finished. Don't worry. I know you're looking at your time. Verse 3. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. That's powerful. You know what he's saying? He's saying, we give no offense in anything. We're not going to give any chance that nobody says anything about our ministry because we're doing everything that is correct. It's another thing when you do everything that is correct and people still make up stuff or lies. Now, if you're not doing everything correct, you're not doing everything what you're supposed to do, and things are happening, you hear things, then it's time to fix things. But when you're doing the will of God, when you're doing everything that is correct, you're in peace. And that's what Paul says. Paul, he says clearly, he says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be what? May not be blamed. You know, and that's the culture. The easiest thing to do is to blame. Blame. You blame your partner. You blame your pastor. You blame your supervisor. We blame. All we do is blame. No. Don't blame anybody at your work. If you're doing everything correctly. Amen. Don't blame anything in your marriage if you're doing everything correctly. And he says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. See, ministry, church, hear me. Ministry, like Paul here, ministry or anything. Everything, hear me, church. Hear me what I'm going to tell you. This is going to be very important. Everything is built on one word, endurance. Don't give up. And not only endurance, character, pain. There's going to be pain. See, we live in times now that we think that because there's some type of pain, we think that it's not of God. Be careful. It's like me, I'm almost married 30 years with my wife, and something happened, and just because there's some type of pain, that doesn't mean, well, I guess I shouldn't have married her. It wasn't of God. No, there's some type of pain. And what's happening is that nobody likes pain, so right away we think, this is not of God. Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. And I'm not saying, church, that it's where every day it's a painful marriage. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that when it does happen, don't think. Look at Jesus. He endured. And he fulfilled his ministry, what he had to do. See, don't see everything that everything's about. What's the word I'm looking for? Don't look at everything like if everything's just about positions. Many times, but it has to be more about endurance because of Christ. And our actions, hear me, church, our actions will either point people to God or push them away. Our actions, your testimony, my testimony. And there is no such thing as a perfect ministry or a perfect marriage or a perfect minister, but I do believe that we're always progressing. In other words, we're always moving forward, but at the same time, we're what? We are always developing for the best. God is doing something in us. Progressing. And see, you got to see yourself, 2026, you got to see yourself progressing, church. Come on, those old habits, put them away. Anything that wants to stop you, put that away. And when you look at Paul, his ministry was marked, but you know by what? Aches, sufferings, hardship. But here's the kicker. But God, his presence was with him. See, so don't ever forget, anytime you face, if you, one day you face aches, pain, or some type of suffering, know this. God is with you. Don't right away think this is, you know, no. Look, did you see the list he pulled out, Paul? Everything he went through? We don't even get 3% of that. Not even 3%. Us, we get bothered because they made you the tortillas that were cold. Uh-oh, I think I'm talking to someone this morning. Well, it's so easy. Get up, put them in the mic. Did you see what he went through? He went through tribulations, needs, distress, stripes. He was beaten, imprisonments. Tumults, disorder, confusion, labors, times where he didn't sleep. Fasting, times where there was no food. And nowadays, You don't get your 8 hours, you're upset. You almost lose your salvation. I'm going to say this because he knows it. So he could, Oscar, Pastor and Hobie, we went to go eat one time. And he ordered the egg somehow, some style. So they go and they bring them, and oh, that's not the way I wanted them. So they take them. Something about breaking the yolk, I don't know what. The second they bring, and he was upset. I mean, he could sit in his. I go, bro, you're gonna lose your salvation for 2 eggs. And he never forgets. He remembers. You'd be surprised. People are like that. Just enjoy the food, or tell them politely, "Hey, don't try to put 3 hairs in there to get a free plate either." You got your 5 little hairs right there in a little cup. Pull one out and come on, church. Don't be doing that. Just say, brother, take care of me this time, man. I'm broke today. But everything he went through, but all those, listen, church, oh, and I'm finished right here. I'm not going to be able to. But all those hardships and this, everything Paul went through. Those are not evidences of failure, but of faithfulness. His faithfulness to the Lord and God's faithfulness. And I want to make this clear. I'm not saying, church, that it could be anywhere, and you're living a miserable life. There's some things that need to get fixed. God can help you. And I'm not talking about that type of stuff. But what I am talking is that when you're serving God with everything, with all your heart, your mind, and you give it all, you're sold out to Jesus, and there's hardships or some or things that are happening in the ministry, in your life or your finances, whatever it is, know that you're in good hands. We're doing the will of God. Amen. Don't see it as a failure. Now, it's different when you don't seek God. You don't read his word. You don't pray. You're not living for Jesus. You know what I mean? And all these things are happening in your life. You need a change. You need to surrender to Jesus. So don't get it twisted. Don't confuse it. When we're rejecting God's presence, his grace, and we get into all this trouble, it's got nothing to do with, it has to do with us. But when you're sold out for Jesus, you love Jesus, you fear God, you're doing everything, and all these things are happening, it's because you're doing something right. And guess what? It's just a valley that we're going through. You're going to get through it. We're going to overcome. We're going to the other side, like Jesus said. And see that as God's faithfulness, and that God is with you and God is working in you. Amen. Please stand, church. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.